Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Can't believe we're going to finish Hebrews today. Tomorrow we're going to start James, and it's just actually perfect timing. We'll finish the fast, finishing with James. And the two books actually go really well together. So Hebrews chapter 13. Let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and with those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and yes and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of the animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I shall see you. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Amen. In chapter 12, verse 28, he concludes and he says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Then let love of the brethren continue. So he's continuing this thought. How should the Christian life be lived out every single day? And he's getting to the nitty-gritty up until to verse 17 and 18. He's bringing his conclusion to this. And so he's talking about this aspect of love and how we should show love. And so he gives us a few examples that are running out throughout. The first one, he talks about this aspect of hospitality. During these times, the reason why the gospel actually spread very well during this season of Paul's journeys is because the Romans built such incredible roads. And so because they actually built roads leading all the way to Spain. I mean, just absolutely a marvel, in fact. But unfortunately, along these roads, there weren't too many inns, hotels, so to speak. So a lot of the custom was people would sleep in people's houses. When we get to this time here, what ended up happening is Roman soldiers had a right to occupy any house that they wanted to. So if they were on the road, wherever they were, and they found a house, they could go in there, they can ransack the house, they can lodge there, they can eat all the food, they could basically do whatever they want. And so you can imagine the atmosphere of people living along that road and whatnot. And this is the same road where the missionaries did their travels and went out and preached the gospel. There was an aversion to hospitality. There was an aversion to having people over because, I mean, you can imagine a bunch of soldiers coming into your house, sleeping in your bed, eating your food, and just really obviously not very courteous in their demeanor. And so he makes this mention of them, hey, this is one of the ways that we show love, is that we are hospitable to one another. And especially in the context of the church and of Christians. I know he uses the word strangers here, but this is the same word that he uses in Matthew 25 when it says, when you've done to the least of these, you know, welcome strangers and whatnot. It's the same word. So he's referring to himself in essence in the Matthew 25 passage, the same word that's used there. And so there's this aspect of hospitality. And I think this is something that that we don't really talk about in the church so much, but it's something that's very, very precious. I mean, even still to this day, after my time at the university, I was in this ministry, and I traveled for roughly about 4 months, sleeping everywhere, usually in people's homes. And it was just purely out of the generosity and the hospitality of Christians all over the country, because we literally travel from D.C., New York, down to Florida, all the way through the United States, up to California, Washington, and we ended our trip in Spokane, Washington. And it was just purely by the hospitality, because we couldn't, as a minister, we couldn't afford to have the whole team, a team of 10 in hotels. And it got to the point where I would walk into a home. You can imagine, can you imagine being in someone's home every single night? I mean, it's quite tiring, you know, on our side. And then added to that, I think a lot of people wanted us to come over because they wanted us to fix their kids, since this was kind of a youth ministry thing. So it's added pressure to that. But all that aside, it got to the point where I can step into a home, this is after a few months, and I could tell, this is no joke, I could tell when I walked into the house that if there was a gift of hospitality in the house. I just felt it. And because we travel, and a lot of the guys on our team as well, they could walk in the house and there was an atmosphere in the house. And there's some homes that I went into and I know that I'm confined to my room. I could go to the bathroom and that was it. And there's other places where you walk in and you feel like I can go into the kitchen at 3 a.m, open up the fridge, take everything out, eat, and the family be really happy about that. You know what I mean? There's really an atmosphere, and really what it comes down to, and I like the way the writer of Hebrews puts it, it's love. It's love. There's an atmosphere of love, and one of the ways that we express love is hospitality. And I know that many people here in Hong Kong, guests, visitors, they've been so blessed by people's hospitality. And then there's other people, hey, this is my house, this is my stuff, you know, don't mess up my place, right? And they're just not into that. It's lacking love. I mean, I just throw it way out there. It's just lacking love. You know, there's this aspect of, yeah, this is not mine. This belongs to the family of God. This is the community of faith. Instead of, well, I earned it, I paid for it, this is my house, this is my furniture, this is my thing. You know, and that's not love. And there's this aspect of hospitality. And then he draws another point, which is kind of crazy. I still try to wrap my brain around this. By some have entertained angels without knowing it. Wow. I mean, out of this operation of love, you could have hosted angelic beings. I mean, that's a crazy thing. I don't know why it's in here, but I thought, wow, this is just kind of a crazy idea. And so he continues on. This is the Christian life lived out all the time. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. And this is true. You're talking, remember, he's talking to a primarily Jewish audience that are now Christians, and they're ostracized by their Jewish community. And so these guys know exactly what it means to be mistreated. They know what it means to be ostracized. They know what it means to be ridiculed and made fun of and discriminated against. And so he's saying, because you know this, even more so, bless those that are ill-treated. Remember where they're coming from, because you're going through it yourself as well. And I think in many levels, we can all come to some kind of understanding of this. because so many of us, we also grew up as foreigners in a different land, and grew up with racism and these type of things, especially if you're raised in the United States in the 70s, even 80s and whatnot. And so you just kind of keep that in mind. And so then he continues on. He talks about another aspect. He says, let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so now he's dealing with the daily activity of marriage. And so he's dealing with this issue of sexuality. And he says, make sure that the marriage bed be held in honor among all. And so that you take in consideration the covenant that you make with your spouse. And it's an important covenant. At this point, if you don't know this, a fornicator is someone that has sex outside of marriage. An adulterer is someone who has sex inside of marriage, not with your wife or not with your spouse. So to understand the differences here. And he says simply, hey, God's going to judge this. You know, don't take this lightly. I know that in our culture, sex is such an easy thing. Sex is, everyone does it. Sex is all over the media. Every movie is all about sex. Every TV show is all the comedies about sex and all these things. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We don't bow down to the mores of our society. We bow down to the Word of God. And it's a very simple case in point. It says, hey, you make sure that you keep your marriage, this would be held in honor. There's something about this. And not necessarily, even if you're not married, that you hold your future marriage in honor as well. Let me tell you something. You know, the idea of fornication and having sex outside of marriage, when you come into your marriage covenant, you bring every demon, every evil spirit, every issue of that person that you slept with, now it conjoins with your spouse. That's a great wedding gift that you offer to your spouse. That's why you've been messing around. You should sign up for Cascade ASAP, right, and get healed up and get free, because you bring all that junk and you conjoin that now to your spouse on your wedding night. That's a horrible gift to give to your spouse. And so, you know, he makes it very clear. God's going to judge this. This is not something that the Lord is going to take lightly in our lives. And then he continues on. And now he's talking about money. Notice he's covering all the bases here. I mean, he's hitting everything. And so now he said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? So now he's talking about the aspect of our finances and how we operate in our finances. You know, I mean, there's a great aspect. You could be blessed, but you could be spending money that's not a blessing at all. You know what I mean? If God has truly blessed us, then to actually take all the resources and just spend it on ourselves would almost be like an anathema to God. In the sense that he's blessed you, and then it's just all about you. There's this aspect, and even in Jewish society, there were some offshoots, and I think a lot of what some commentaries write about why the writer of Hebrews added this in there, that there was this aspect in the early church that from Jewish teaching that said that, well, God blesses his people. Everyone understands that. But there was another side of that that says that if you're materially blessed, that means God loves you or that you are blessed. But we know that's not true at all. And you can see kind of the roots of kind of the prosperity movement that really came out of this idea. There was even a very old Jewish saying that those that God loves, he makes rich. And a very, very common Jewish saying at the time, but we know that's not true. So in the other sense, and this is the danger of the prosperity movement, so doesn't mean if you're poor, does that mean God doesn't love you? Well, the Bible seems to think that God loves the poor. He loves even more so than the rich. I mean, if you really look at face value. And so we recognize that's not true. So then what are we to take of the riches that come our way? It's a blessing. Yeah, of course it's a blessing. But you're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to operate out of that, you know, to bless other people and not just yourself. That's selfishness. Notice this whole talk and all these things he's talking about starts in verse 1. Let love of the brethren continue. And so he's talking about this love. And so be careful. Let your character be free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. Be content with what God has given to you. Because he's the one that's covering you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so God is the one that's going to provide for each one of us. And so be content in that. And so this is a good check for us to see, what is our attitude towards money? What is our attitude towards wealth? Am I a partaker of that? Do I share what God has given to me? Or is this mine, me, myself, and I? Is for me, this is for my family, and that's it. I tell you, that is ugly in the sight of God. Absolutely ugly in his eyes. And we should share. That's the main point. And so in verse 7, remember those who led you. He's talking about those, the early leaders. And he'll make a distinction, because in verse 17, he talks about obey your leaders. In verse 7, he says, remember those who led you. So he's talking about, remember the early church? This would be kind of the first generation of the leaders in the church. And you can imagine the first generation of leaders were awesome. I mean, these guys were with Jesus. You know, this first generation, they were amazing. So he says, remember, and they had basically a good result of their conduct, which really talks about the end of their life. They finished well. And so remember them and imitate their faith. Now he's talking to the second layer of leaders that maybe don't quite have the same anointing. I don't know. I'm just my own thought. I'm thinking like this. Maybe don't have the same pedigree, so to speak. And so what is the word to those leaders, the current leaders? He says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. To those who will give an account, let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this will be unprofitable for you. And so he's telling them, with your current leaders, obey them, submit to them. And I like the way he writes this, is be a joy to them. You know what I mean? Don't be a knucklehead. Don't be so critical all the time. Don't think that you know everything. Be humble. Submit yourself to your leadership. Submit yourself to people. And you know, this is the key. It really doesn't matter so much how you relate to me. I'm the senior leader, and so, but what matters is how you relate to Pastor Eugene, Pastor Sophia, Pastor Carol, Pastor Nate, other people, and then to your house church leaders. I think that's where it really matters. Do you know what I mean? You know, I mean, I understand. I garner a certain level of respect because, you know, we founded this church and been here for a long time. And so there's that just simple natural aspect. But do you obey and submit to your leaders in terms of your house church leaders? Do you make it a joy to serve them and to minister under their care? You know, or other pastors, or you know what I mean? Even like if you're in welcoming, do you really honor and submit to people that are in welcoming? Let me just throw you a question. If you're in the welcoming team and you knew that I was going to be there that Sunday at 10:30 or 10 o'clock, would you be more apt to come on time versus somebody else? You know what I mean? And if there's a difference, I think you're in serious trouble. I think now, if you're not apt to come on time, even if I'm there, then you're in really big trouble on top of that, okay? And things, but so what I'm saying is maybe sometimes we take other leaders very lightly. And he says, no, submit to them. Obey them. Submit to them. And I love this. Be a joy. You know, like he's saying, be a blessing to your leaders. Don't be the one that they have to chase you down all the time to come out to house church. Don't be the one that they have to chase you down to, you know, come on time for certain things that you signed up for and things you're supposed to do. Be a blessing. Come early. What a novel idea in the church. Really? I can come early to an event? You mean I can come early to EMP? I can come early to service? Yeah, there's no law forbidding that, believe it or not. You can actually come early. You can come on time. I mean, things can happen. Be a blessing to people around you, to your leaders. You know, do this with joy. Do you know what I mean? Be teachable. Be humble. You know, because the key is, see, look, even if you're a selfish person, even if you're a prideful person, all these things, the Bible says that it will be profitable for you. So be selfish and be a good follower. You know, I know that's not very good teaching, but if you are selfish and you're prideful and still you struggle with this, well, do this for yourself and be submitted, be obedient. It says at the end of this, right, for this would be unprofitable for you. So make it profitable for you. Obey and submit to them in that way. Let's go back to this. Let's go at verse 7 now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So now he's going to talk about Jesus here in this place. And he's talking about that the sacrifice, Old Testament sacrifice, is going to be different now. In the sense that he says in those body of the animals, right, whenever the idea of sin offering, and what they generally did is when you committed a sin, the offering and everything, you were held outside the gates, outside of the city, and you were left out there, and you had to make penance and do your thing. And it says in the same way, Jesus also, remember, he was crucified on Calvary outside the gate of Jerusalem. And he was crucified on Calvary. But notice, he says here, the aspect was, you're in the city, don't go out because you'll be defiled. And this aspect, he says it a little differently. He says, no, you go out where Jesus is. So he's outside. He's making, you go out there. You're not going to be undefiled. You know, you go where he is. And you and the scripture there, he says, in verse, let's see. For we do not have hence let us go out. Verse 13. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Let's follow Christ in whatever is going on. And then he gives us a different picture of the sacrifice. So remember, he's talking about sacrifice, blood, bulls, goats, all these things. And then verse 15, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So now we're going to new covenant sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of praise. Is the offering up of worship. It's the offering up of the lips, of the words of our mouth. And then do not neglect doing good and sharing with such sacrifices God is pleased. And so we have this New Testament idea of our worship. Our worship is not just word. Our worship is word and deed. They come together. And then James will very eloquently put these things, two things together even more so. The sacrifices that we offer to God are not just things that we say. It's not just songs that we sing. It's actually the songs that we live. It's both. It's word and deed. So he says it very simply. Through them, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God that is a fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Word, sacrifice with our mouth. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. It's word and deed in our life. That's what makes New Testament. That's what makes the Christian life possible. That's what makes Christian life beautiful. This is the Christian life lived out every single day. Daily practice of it out. Show hospitality. Let love cover all these things around us. Keep yourself pure sexually. Keep yourself pure financially and dealing with money. And focus our life on Christ. And then offer up pleasing sacrifices to God. Not bulls and goats and blood and all these things, but our word and also our deed. And then if we do this, it says God will be well pleasing with us. Amen? Let's close our eyes today. There's a lot of different aspects, and the writer of Hebrews kind of at the end was just almost like machine gun, just hitting point by point, bam, 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 about this daily activity. I just want you to just interact with God on certain daily things that was mentioned here. Maybe you struggle with the whole hospitality thing. Maybe you think your house belongs to yourself. Maybe it's my possessions. Ask Holy Spirit to speak to you about that. you could be missing out by, in some essences, being selfish and greedy. How about another aspect? Maybe it's on the air of sexuality. This is where you really get caught up in. Or maybe it's in the area of finances and money. Or maybe in the area of not helping the needy or the poor. Maybe you struggle with the idea of word and deed. You talk a good game, but not much is happening afterwards. And there's so much in this text. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak to you and go before the Lord and just interact with God as He ministers to you today.
My friend and king,
Continue to pray. Let's just talk to God about certain struggles that we may have in certain areas, sexuality, hospitality, financially. Maybe the issue of submitting to leaders. Well, let's just ask Holy Spirit to speak to us and cleanse us and help us to live out our faith every day, faithfully. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends going through different diseases and let's ask God's hand to be with them and bring His grace and His love into their families. And let's pray for healing word. Let's continue to press in. Let's pray for our friends who need that word of healing, but also that word of salvation. Now let's ask God to move and intervene in their lives right now. Let's pray for others that are sick. Let's ask God's hand to be with them and release that healing word. Pray for our community. It's looking for work. Let's ask God to provide and bless and bring connections, and really the encouragement of God would be with them. Let's pray for them and their families. Our mission prayer focus today. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley at Bloom. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them, and especially Ashley as she gets acclimated to Cambodia, Cambodian life and ministry. Let's pray for Pastor O at V2R. Pray for Pastor Tang at New Life Church as well, our partner church that we work with in the summer. And let's just ask God to bless these people working and moving in this country, and let's pray for the Cambodia as well. Let's lift up. Let's pray for the board. Let's ask God to bring wisdom and just favor and clarity, protection. Pray for myself, Lisa, Hyde, Janie, Tom, Kiwan, and Brian. Also, Pastor Sophia, she's a church secretary. She's not necessarily on the board, but let's also lift her up as well. So let's just cover. Pray for our men's and women's ministries, and let's ask God to really bless. Let this year be the year that we really develop these ministries, and especially men, that they would really grow. Pray for the women as well, that God would just really connect them together. And pray for the leaders, Sandro and Bonnie. Let's ask God to be with them and to give them vision for this year. Thank you. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's ask God to continue to provide, and as we just continue to search, that word there, donor, that you see, is just we're just responding to a prophetic word that Cindy Jacobs gave us, and that God would do something again. Not that we're depending on some person, but we're just being obedient to the prophetic word. And let's pray that God would provide in that way for us. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, Island, Shawton, Kennedy, and Robinson West. Pray for the leaders. Pray for this first session, that Holy Spirit would just move upon us and connect all the House Church members. Pray for people that are still praying through, and help them get involved and connected. Let's lift up tonight's sessions. Let's go to member prayer focus this morning. Let's pray for Angelina Cheng. Pray for her to find a God-centered, prayerful, word-focused small group in Shanghai. A godly husband to serve God together, have godly children. Love God with all her heart and soul and mind. Meditate on His Word day and night. Pray for salvation for her entire family, especially Jinjin, will grow into God's princess warrior. Let's pray for Angelina. Next slide. Let's pray for Pearl. Pray that God to enlarge her borders and sharpen her skills in serving the marketplace. God would give her a husband, a job promotion, and good health for her family and salvation of unsaved family members, including her parents. Let's pray for Pearl. Next, let's pray for Eileen. Pray for seeking God for wisdom, understanding, and favor at the new workplace. For God to lead her to find the right church in Paris. And let's pray for her families to be saved, her parents. Let's lift up Eileen. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you today. We ask that you watch over us and help us to live out faithfully, God, our life every single day, word and deed. Lord, help us to watch over us in the area of our hospitality and loving others, Lord, and in our finances, God, and our sexuality, Father, and our submitting and obeying of leaders. Pray every day, God, that we give ourselves to you, Father. And so watch over us, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you guys tomorrow as we start the book of James.